Hi, guys. Have a question or comment? Visit our website at audiowrestling.com.
So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody. Doc Young here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Right now, today is April 10th, and yeah, we've had a little trouble getting going here, but... filling in for Les tonight. As Les had said last week, he's not going to be here tonight. He's got family obligations. Filling in, of course, is, sensational, of course.
Jimmy Martel?
Former WWE creative member, Irish Pete Doyle's here. Pete!
How we doing?
We're co-hosting the show together once again.
Once again? It's been what, almost a year?
Since we last co-hosted together. It's been pretty close.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but
In your favor, I think that the show we did was one of the nominated interviews in the Wrestling Radio Awards last year. So,
really,
I believe it was. I'd have to go back and look, but
is that with Road Dogg or with Road Dogg? You know what I'm talking about.
Well, whatever one we did, I don't remember. I gotta be honest. I haven't been feeling good all week, and I'm just kind of hanging in there.
Yeah.
As far as knowing what I'm talking about tonight goes, but...
You gotta quit doing that funny stuff. We gotta have a Wrestling Weekly wellness program going on.
We do. We need one.
Yeah.
Because, well, Les would end up running it, and I'd be fired after a week, and he'd take over the show.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good.
Yeah. Well, that depends who you ask.
let's cut right into the news, shall we, Pete?
Let's do it.
Following the broken arm injury storyline earlier this week that WWE used for Hardcore Holly's upcoming absence from ECW, the company has now put up an article on WWE.com saying that King Booker had suffered a sprain and strained contusion of the neck following the Tombstone Piledriver he took from The Undertaker on SmackDown last week. PW Insider is reporting that WWE did this angle because Booker has been dealing with some knee issues, and now he's going to be undergoing surgery to repair the problems. Booker's going to be out of action until at least June.
Mm-hmm.
Not good news for King Booker.
No.
And Charmel fans are going to be pretty upset.
Yeah, all two of them.
Hey, Les is a big Charmel fan.
Well, he's one of them.
He's one of the two?
Who's the other one? Who's the other one?
King Booker, I guess. I don't know. Not the knock, but, you know, maybe he'll go back to, I think he's running a school in Texas, I think it is.
Yeah, he's got his own school in Texas.
Yeah, with Stevie Ray.
Store in Texas, too.
So he'll probably head back to Texas and work with some of these younger guys.
Yeah, that would be good for the younger guys, definitely, to have a hands-on training of Booker, you know.
A break is something you need, you know, every once in a while, and... Booker deserves one, as it is, but, sometimes it helps you get your second wind anyway, and your health is more important anyway, so
definitely.
We wish...
It's always good to take some time off.
We definitely wish Booker a speedy recovery.
Definitely.
In some more news this week, of course, as everybody knows, when they watched Raw last week, not yesterday, but the week before, Jim Ross had lost his voice after WrestleMania. He tried to sleep it off last Monday to let his voice rest. But they said what you heard on the air was basically the best he had sounded all day. A lot of times his voice was cracking, couldn't hear him. I've gone through this too. I don't know about you, Pete.
Definitely. When I used to do UPW shows, which is nothing compared to what J.R. does, but
right.
It seems like after every WrestleMania, J.R. has that because he puts his real emotions in there, and he really feels what's happening. And when you're really yelling at your real emotions, you know, that's what happens, and that's a credit. That's props to the job that he does as an announcer.
Definitely, or you're just trying to drown out, you know, the audience noise by speaking louder, of course. And WrestleMania, does it get much louder in that, you know, in that Ford Field? Wow. But, yeah, I used to be a PA announcer at a racetrack.
Oh, wow.
And they had a real crummy PA system, but they wanted me to do sort of play-by-play over the loud system. Now, once the car started revving and the flag went down, you couldn't hear me, you know, unless you were like five rows from the press box.
Right.
So I was talking and talking and talking, and this was just a weekend job. It was every Saturday, but every Sunday, I lost my voice for quite a while.
Yeah.
So know how that goes, but you know, it's just a testament to Jim Ross and you know, his dedication.
Definitely. Definitely. Do we have any news? Do we have any, like, anything exciting going on?
Exciting? I don't know. Let me see. I'm looking right now at WrestleView.com. This is where we usually get our news from.
Okay.
I like WrestleView.com because they don't have a lot of pop-ups. It's free. And they leave out the unimportant, stupid stories. And they only put the stories that are of any interest on. A lot of people fill up their website with, real trivialized stories. Like, I think this might happen in 3 weeks, and it's a big story to them.
Oh, the worst one is WrestlingExposed.com, and it's just the worst website because you have the same story by about three different guys that work for the same website. And, I read this like four times already today. Why are you wasting my time?
You sort of have that problem when you got different people, you know, and they're not checking to make sure that the story's already up.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that.
Yeah, well.
You just got to slap them in the head sometimes.
Oh, like, man, hey. I'd love to.
But here is a big story, since you're asking. BW Insider's reporting that WCW and former TNA star Glenn Disco Inferno Gilberti was among many arrested last night during a gambling bust involving a high-stakes, no-limit hold'em poker in Roswell, Georgia. I wonder if Marty Jannetty was there. He lives in Roswell.
Ugh.
I hope not. I'm going to have to I'm gonna have to find out if he's all right.
Better for him, does it?
No. That wouldn't be very good. According to reports, local police have been investigating the gambling ring for over 6 months after neighbors complained about the amount of people coming and going during late hours. Based on what's known, according to WrestleView.com, gamblers would have to pay a fee of $10,000 just to get in the game.
Wow.
The Roswell police sergeant was quoted as saying, "I've been with the city for going on 27 years, and I've never seen an operation like this in my tenure." Gilberti was last seen active in wrestling as part of the World Wrestling Legends pay-per-view in Orlando, Florida last year in March. That was the one where Canyon came out of the closet.
Well, I don't understand how you wrestle for 5 or 6 years and then you're on a Wrestling Legends tour.
He's been in there long. I mean, he's been wrestling for 5 or 6 years, but, I mean, he's been in business longer than that. Am I right?
I don't know, but he's definitely not a wrestling legend. I think to be considered a legend, just like the Hall of Fame, you have to draw numbers, you know? You have to draw money. He was just a little filler for the show that was entertaining, and, you know, he wasn't that good of a wrestler. I think it's great for the business that he's retired, hopefully. He's in there with both Bagwell, in my opinion.
I would say, you know what, we picked the right time for Les to take off because, and I didn't mention it tonight, but next week, Vicious and Delicious are going to be here. Scott Norton and Buff Bagwell have reteamed and reunited, and they're going to be here, and I'm just glad you're not going to be here.
Why not? Let me come on next week when Puff Bagwell is there.
No.
I will make it very entertaining.
The sparks.
And you will get some controversy. Because, you know, controversy creates cash.
Controversy creates cash. Yeah. But, you know, I sort of like my integrity a little bit better.
You don't have any integrity, Doc. Come on.
I have some sort of integrity. just from sitting next to Les every week, I mooch off his integrity.
That's a good rub.
And, no, I don't want that to happen. I like Buff. I mean, I gotta admit it, I like Buff. I think he's a cool guy, he's entertaining, but, I mean, I know he's got, like, he goes off on, sometimes on, you know, things that he probably shouldn't, and then things that he probably should let go, and,
That's all he's got. He doesn't have a career to talk about. He only has crap to talk about.
Didn't you see the Day of the Warrior, Irish Pete?
Was that the one where he played a gay guy?
No, he wasn't gay in that.
Wasn't he gay in some movie?
I think he was.
Yeah. Or was that just WCW?
Pete, you're terrible tonight.
Freedom of speech. I love the USNA.
I love WWE.
Mm-hmm.
How was Raw last night for you?
Raw was decent. You know, it's definitely going the right direction since the build to WrestleMania and after it. You know, I like what they're doing. You know, it's good to have Bobby Lashley, another big name on the show, because it's kind of lacking that kind of, you know, aura about it. I just hope that they keep the ball rolling, because it just seems that, you know, recent history, they do maybe, you know, a month of good shows and back down to what the hell is going on.
Right.
But, you know, I like the whole Shane thing last night. It was pretty good. It kept people, you know, tuned in and expecting something to go down, and it was a good build-up for more of McMahon-Lashley feud, you know, which I think is good. And
well, they're pushing Lashley to the moon, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, you shouldn't. I like that because, you know, before they were just marketing one person, that was John Cena.
Right.
You know, and I think you got to have your three or four strong main eventers.
Well, you definitely do, but is Lashley the guy to do that with, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think they're doing it for the company. They're doing it for the ECW brand.
Right.
And it's definitely a good platform for him to be there to get the ECW name, you know, more to the open. And I think you'll see the ratings starting to rise for ECW because they have somebody who they can say, hey, this is ECW, and people go, oh, really, this is good. Where before you had people like, you know, Sandman or Dreamer or Rob Van Dam, and as good as Rob is, I don't think you can build a company around him.
I think they've tried that before.
Yeah, right. And
he did a good job of leading the ECW fans back in the day, but I don't know if he can't really get away with what he did on ECW, in my opinion, on WWE.
Rob, you don't know?
Yeah, the personality traits and things like that, they kind of made him kind of milquetoast and bland.
Well, you can't get away with anything that ECW did back in the day. Now,
true.
Because, you know, they're on a different network. It's a lot more restrictions nowadays.
Right.
On what you can put on TV. And, you know, a lot of people bash WWE for taking ECW in a different direction, but it's what has to be done if you want to have it under the WWE banner and you want sponsors to keep sponsoring, you want a network to keep carrying it. You got to go in a certain direction, and people don't understand that. And people don't realize that, you know, this is a business. You know, we can't just put out there, I don't mean we, but they can't keep putting out there what people want just for the sake of it. They have to be smart and look at the numbers, look at the figures, what's going to bring in revenue so they can put on better shows, you know, and to give the blood and all that stuff from the original ECW days is not going to make ECW stick around. You're going to get those handful of, you know, bloodthirsty fans, but you're going to turn sponsors away, and you're going to make the network say, what the hell's going on? That's, you know, canceled thing.
What do you, and let's get straight to the point. What, Lashley, is he ready to carry ECW?
For ECW, yes. Because ECW is not that big stage where you need somebody like Shawn Michaels to carry it.
You're saying is that they're the C show.
Yeah, basically. I mean, compared to Raw, you know, it definitely is, you know. And then I think as long as you have someone who looks good and can carry a match, which Lashley can do, you know, you got the right thing going. Now, you look at Raw, and I think John Cena's the wrong guy for that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I love John. I know John. But, you know, and I know he sells a lot of merchandise, which is why he's at where he's at, you know.
Right.
But as far as carrying a company, that's the best they got right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody's going to be a Rock or a Stone Cold or a Hogan.
Of course. Of course not. But, you know, you got to put up there what's selling, what's bringing money in, and Cena and Lashley are both doing that for both of their brands.
Definitely, yeah. I prefer Cena, you know, on a personal note, I prefer the heel rapper as far as Cena's personas. Let's go ahead, and we got a couple more news stories to get to. Molly Brown is going to be here. She's an internet wrestling journalist.
Yeah,
she is our new Hot Topic correspondent. She's going to be here in a few. Also, we've got, of course, Ring of Honor's Jimmy Jacobs, Young Jimmy. He's going to be here in a little bit, talk about his recent injury in Ring of Honor. He is, he's got bad news for everybody. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Couple quick news stories. Chris Kanyon. He announced his retirement from wrestling a few days ago on his MySpace.
God.
You're not a big Canyon fan.
Well, you know, I like Chris. You know, I got to know him when I was there and we bought WCW. And, you know, some of the guys came over. And he's a nice guy. But in the past year, his recent attempts at attention are being just pathetic. Mm-hmm. And, it's just sad that he has to go to certain limits to try and get attention, just to try and stay in the business. And if you got to go to those limits, then you should have hung it up a long time ago. And, you know, nice guy, like I said, he is a good talent. But, you know, just do your thing, work the indies like a lot of guys do, swallow your pride, work the indies, and, you know, get your tape together and send it back to Johnny or Vince, and hopefully there's an opening. But
you know, I think once he started the accusation, everything went downhill from there. Of course, it snowballed, and there's no way they're going to take him back now.
That's like me, you know, saying, you know, I asked for my release from WWE when I was a writer,
mm-hmm.
and I got it. And that's like me, you know, going around now saying, hey, you know, this happened there, and Vince is an ass, and Stephanie did this, and hey, by the way, I can have my job back.
Right.
That's so retarded.
Right.
You know? I mean, please.
Well, you know, whether by design or just mistakes or, you know, politics, he sort of burned his bridges with both WWE and TNA. There's really nowhere to move up right now. He's getting up there in age. It's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time to go ahead and retire. Howard Stern loves him. So, you know, he can keep making his Howard Stern appearances.
Yeah, because he's easy to get on there and say stupid things, and they can make fun of him when he's gone, and it's ratings.
No, I think Howard Stern genuinely likes Kanyon.
Maybe he does.
That's just my opinion. I don't know. I'm not Howard Stern. But another news story. Former WCW and WWE wrestler Sean O'Hare.
My boy.
Recently suffered 3 fractures to the face and skull after being involved in a fight outside a bar on Hilton Head Island.
And he didn't get a penny for it. He should have stayed doing K-1. He would have got 10 grand for it.
That's right. Hare claims he was attacked by 3 men, when in fact there are several witnesses claiming that he was one of the instigators, and it was 1 man. Since leaving WWE, O'Hare has been competing in MMA.
Mm-hmm. K-1.
I want to meet the man who beat up Sean O'Hare.
Well, there's a whole bunch of them in Japan.
Sean O'Hare is a huge man. Now, I can understand a competitor, a mixed martial arts competitor, of course. You know, they train for these kind of things. Fighting's their life. I can understand you getting beat by them. But getting beat up by a guy in a bar?
Well, that guy in the bar could be.
This,
and a make fighter, this, or he could be, you know, martial artist. You don't
it
know.
Could be. This guy must be humongous because Sean O'Hare is big and scary. And tough. He's a scary man. I don't know if you were intimidated by his size, but I am.
No, I mean me and Sean were good friends. I managed him out there in UPW for about a year before he quit doing pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually, we got along great. From what I know of him, he's a good guy, and we had some good times. I never went out drinking with him, so I can't tell you if that's his persona when he goes out drinking, but from what I hear, it kind of is. But I hope he's all right. I'm sure he wasn't expecting that. But if WWE could find who beat him up and run a program with it,
maybe. You never know. It just goes to show, no matter how big you are, there's somebody bigger out there,
always.
And anything, any little thing can change a fight. There's a really fine line between winning and losing a fight, and there so many little things. Could slip for a second, and you're done. Anybody who knows, anybody who watches MMA knows. One second can change it all, no matter how big and tough you are. And definitely hope Sean is feeling better. Let's go into a commercial break here. We've got Molly Brown coming up. She is, of course, like we said, our newest Hot Topic correspondent. And Jimmy Jacobs coming up in the show. You're listening to Doc Young and Irish Pete Doyle. He's filling in for the legendary Les Thatcher this week. It's Wrestling Weekly, guys. We'll be right back.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing, Reese? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Hi, guys. Have a question or comment? Visit our website at audiowrestling.com.
Doc Young and Irish Pete Doyle back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, the newest Wrestling Weekly Hot Topic correspondent. She is internet wrestling journalist Molly Brown. Molly, thanks for joining our special little family here at Wrestling Weekly.
Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Doing great. Good to talk to you again.
Do you remember Irish Pete, Molly?
I do.
The gang's back together again.
I've just, I don't even recognize myself anymore. I was getting a kick just out of my day today, how odd my days are anymore. I'm up at like 5 a.m. going to the gym every day. Then I go to work and I have like an office job now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird, like with business cards and my own mind and a secretary, and it's so grown up, I don't even recognize it anymore. Come home, make dinner, then just sit around and wait for a wrestling phone call. It's like, it's odd. It's bizarre.
Molly, you are a grown woman now.
I know. I hate it.
And I've only known you for like 3 years.
I know, but where did you see me go from?
So what's the hot topic?
You met me when I met my fiancé.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, God. And I used to tell you, it's nothing serious. It's just a guy. Who cares?
And now,
crap.
And I guess we can announce it on the show that Miss Molly Brown is engaged to be married.
Yes. May 5th. It's approaching fast.
It is.
Congratulations. I mean, congratulations.
Thank you.
Where are you going on your honeymoon?
Since it's a Cinco de Mayo wedding, we're going to Mexico.
Sweet.
Going down to Tulum.
See, I'm so jealous. I'm jealous, Pete. She gets to go to she gets to go to all these exotic places,
and I get to
go to like Indianapolis for fun.
To prove that I'm not too grown up, I am marrying a bar manager.
Okay, there you go.
So we seriously do have a bar in our living room, and like the resort we're staying at, one of those all inclusive with the liquor included, and it even has a liquor dispenser in our room.
Sweet.
That's a little scary, I'll be honest with you.
That is bachelorific.
So like when you wake up at 3 in the morning and you must have a shot.
Yeah, because that happens every once in a while. What's the hot topic this week, Molly?
Well, I just finished reading Mick Foley's book.
The Hardcore Diaries.
The Hardcore Diaries.
I'm in the middle of it right now, so.
And anyone that remembers me and my writing, Foley is one of my favorite people on the planet. I'm a huge fan of his.
As am I.
But I hate the book.
You hate the book?
I hate the book.
She hates the book.
I hate the book.
Why do you hate the book?
I hate the book. I hate the book. You know, I'm reading it, and if anybody else had written it, I probably would have, like, closed it halfway through. It's so self-serving and just, God, every other chapter is just about what a great human being and how fabulous he is and how great he is and this charity and that charity. And watching Raw brought it all up again. Now, granted, thanks to Foley, my fiancé have adopted a third world child through the Save the Children Foundation because he's got an entire chapter talking about what a great charity it was.
Right.
So I did go out and do that because of Mick Foley. But every friggin' chapter about this, that, and the other, and it's just like, wow, we get it. You're a saint, you know. You're going to die and become a white lighter. I understand.
Maybe you're getting cynical.
Maybe. But then what really, the more I digest it, I think about it, what ticks me the most, and this isn't Foley's fault necessarily, is I can remember I started writing on the internet, 99, 2000.
Uh-huh.
So I safe to say I've been doing this for a number of years, in and out, taking some time off, going back in, and anybody that's been around, we were lambasted, you know, especially in early 2000,
right,
for smart marks and revealing too much of the business and how what's destroying ratings was the internet. And that was the general thought, you know, backstage amongst wrestlers, amongst people, that the internet and the smart marks and the people that were spilling too much and talking too much and getting too much into the backstage was cancer for the business.
Yeah, I remember.
Here we are 7 years later, and a book comes out pretty much revealing everything that goes on backstage and the politics and the writers' meetings and the who, what, where, what, and how to producing an angle.
Yeah, and that's what basically people, you know, they want to hear this kind of stuff. But what I guess what you're getting at is that now it's them doing it instead
right.
of us.
You know, it's like, oh, for years we were, you know, we were blacklisted. We were, you know, talked down upon and, you know, oh, you don't know, you weren't there.
Right.
You know, oh, you're talking too much. You know, don't talk about that. Even still today, you know, a lot of it more, you know, modern kayfabe was a theory that I had a bunch of years ago, and I think WWE embraced it a little bit, not as much as they could have, was the way to counter the smart marks was just feed us fake stories and build the stories into the real stories,
mm-hmm.
you know. And in recent memory, the best example of using modern kayfabe to their advantage was Edge and Hardy.
Right.
That whole feud, building off a real-life drama, was great. That's the exact thing they need to do, is use the internet to their advantage and build angles off of it.
I actually thought the real-life drama was more interesting than the angle that they put
out
with Hardy.
Oh, absolutely.
With Hardy and Edge. Pete, what do you think about all this? You've kind of been on both sides of this.
Yeah, I think, you know, WWE wanted to stop it originally. Once they realized, well, you know, this is way too out of control, because they try to serve various websites with letters, you know, from the legal department, and once they realized there's nothing they could do about it, they probably said, well, screw it, you know, let's start.
You can't beat them, join them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess so.
And we do better, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why now they have like all the DVDs that come out where you have, you know, heels and faces on the same DVD talking about the olden days and like the Four Horsemen DVD coming out and what have you, and talking about stuff that went down backstage, is because they realize now, well, you know, we can't stop it, so we might as well make money off it.
Profit from it, which I guess has been McMahon's greatest greatest strength throughout the business.
It is the bottom line, you know, I guess, is to make the money.
Whatever sells. You got to stay in business.
It takes some shine off the penny. It really does.
Well,
and I know that's ironic coming from us, but you know, at some point it does take some shine off the penny. And I guess I have new perspective. because I took myself away from the, I turned on my computer for the first time when you and I talked a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I turned on my computer for the first time and went to, like, wrestling websites.
Right.
I seriously, since I stopped writing, I stopped going to websites.
Yeah.
And I stopped paying attention to politics. And I have a couple friends of mine in the business and would call me and say, hey, did you hear about such and such and this? And I'm going, I really didn't. And so they have to, like, fill me in on the on what's going on. And, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say I enjoyed wrestling more, but I wasn't as preoccupied with, he's not getting that pleasure. Oh, maybe Carlito's in a dark match because he's got heat with the backstage and he's going to be fired in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't preoccupied with that. But then, like, now that I'm back into reading the news stories, I fell in love with it all over again. So I guess I'm the world's biggest hypocrite.
It is. It's kind of ironic that we're saying, wrestlers, you're talking too much. Stop it.
Right.
That's our job.
But see, I never commented much on news and rumor. I always commented on technique and style.
Right. Which is
what
this show is about.
Yeah, I'm not one to talk about backstage politics and the who, what, where, why, and when, because people whine and bitch too much.
Right.
I'm more in love with, and I've always been in love with, technique wrestling and picking apart a match and looking for the good spots and those golden moments and watching a guy like Batista, who, when he first debuted, he was rough. I mean, he had no follow-through. He was choppy. He was going from one move to the next without any finesse.
Uh-huh.
And now he's so smooth and concise and has such exquisite control over his body. And just watching him develop over the years into just this phenomenon. You know, watching a guy like Umaga, who, when he was Jamal, was, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
He had great finesse. He, you know, a little stiff at times, but just lacked character.
Mm-hmm. And then, character.
Yeah, exactly. And then, boom, send him away, come back, repackage him, and, oh my God, how great is Umaga?
Yeah, but, I mean, how many people, when they first saw Umaga come out and they heard those drums and that horrible entrance music, said, oh, my God, he's screwed. I raised my hand right now. I said Umaga.
I remember when he first debuted and I was on this show, and me and Les, we believed it was a great opportunity for him.
Do you know what I think saved him? His manager.
Alejandro.
His manager has become a really good character. Monday, when Shane slapped the manager and, like, Umaga the look, I mean, it's just, it brought back classic manager-wrestler relationships.
Uh-huh.
And I really hope they don't screw it up or go, you know, they shouldn't put Alejandro in the ring, like, hardly ever. You know, they should keep him in the manager role. And it was very reminiscent of, like, the Fuji days.
Yeah. And I like managers, and I think managers.
Yeah.
I would like to see managers make a comeback other than divas.
Yeah. Well, hopefully with the success of this duo, and I think really the manager helped get him over.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was great. He was doing all the same things he was doing before. It just now he has a character and something to channel his energy into.
Definitely. Molly, we're out of time. I'm sorry this was so short today, but we have a of course, abbreviated show tonight. We need to get our main guest on. But, Molly, we're going to see you again after you get back from your honeymoon.
Okay.
And we'll have you back on the show, and we'll talk some more Hot Topic stuff. And I want to welcome you to the Wrestling Weekly family. I want everybody out there to know that Molly Brown is not just some chick that likes wrestling. She really knows her stuff. She's has family in the business, and she's been around the business pretty much all your life, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna see. I'm gonna see my cousin Gary and my dad coming up, and I think they're both listening tonight. Or at least I told them to.
Excellent. So give them a shout out.
I don't even know where Gary. Last I heard, Gary is wrestling down in Florida, so I got to get the updates on him.
Ah, okay. Molly, thanks for being on tonight. We'll see you again, and congratulations on your wedding.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll see you again when you're Mrs. Whoever.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll be keeping your last name, but yeah. We'll see you again soon. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Molly Brown, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. Pete, we're in such a rush. We got to take a quick break, and Jimmy Jacobs is coming up.
Beautiful.
Stick around, guys. It's Doc Young and Irish Pete Doyle here on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back.
Hi, guys. Have a question or comment? Visit our website at audiowrestling.com.
Doc Young and Irish Pete Doyle here, filling in for Les Thatcher. Wrestling Weekly, guys, on the line right now. Our featured guest from Ring of Honor and, of course, the now defunct Wrestling Society X, Jimmy Jacobs, is with us. Jimmy, thanks for returning to Wrestling Weekly.
Good evening. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, this whole thing was supposed to be, I was going to go to your clinic. You had a clinic at Terre Haute, or you were scheduled to have a clinic at Terre Haute on Saturday. But I was ill. I was under the weather, so I didn't get to make it. But I heard it was a good show.
It was all right.
And that you kicked a lot of butt.
Yeah. The kid I wrestled was pretty good. Jason Light from down there is all right.
But, you know, the sad thing is, and what, everything that's going around, and I didn't know this when I made the, when I called you and we scheduled this interview, but you, that was your last show for a while.
Actually, I have one more. I'm I'm wrestling at, in Pittsburgh on Saturday for Norm Connors.
Mm.
And then I'm done for 6 to 8 months. I don't know, maybe, 2008. I don't know. We'll see.
That's what's going around, 6 to 8 months. Well, tell us, I mean, what happened?
I tore my ACL in my left knee. I completely tore it, and so I have my surgery now. So.
Was it that Ring of Honor match that did it, or?
It had bothered me for a while. I knew something was wrong with it, and I got checked out after that, and they told me I tore my ACL. So I have surgery scheduled for April 20th. And there it is.
That's not good. Well, you're what, 22, I'm assuming?
23 now.
23.
Just turned 23, yeah.
And I remembered the Ring of Honor angles and stuff that you did with Lacey, and you had written a couple of songs. And I put this in one of my blogs because I we saw each other last month up in the Chicagoland area, and you looked very beat up. And the time I had seen you before that, you had just done a Stairway to Hell match with Jerry Lynn.
And
you were really beat up. And I said, every time I see you, Jimmy, you are suffering.
I'm in all honesty, I'm sure I'm going to get the itch after about a month or two, but I'm looking forward to a little bit of time off, to be honest.
Definitely. I guess last time we had you on the show, you said that you had went 4 years, I believe, straight without having having a show, at least one show every weekend.
It was actually a little over 3 years. And then, I mean, since then, I mean, I've missed, geez, in the past 5 years, I've maybe had 4 or 5 weekends off.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Now, that's, and one of those songs that you had made about Lacey sort of went, I guess the beginning line was, my body's too young to feel this old.
Yes.
And I said, Jimmy, that came straight from the heart.
Shoot, yeah, seriously.
Because, Les and I were talking about this last week because, as soon as we had, made the interview, we had found out that you had the torn ACL, you were going to be out 6 to 9 months. And, Les was really talking about, is it worth a risk to be this young? It is Ring of Honor. Nationally known company, but there's no TV, and let's be frank, it's not going to, get you a big house and set you for life or anything like that. Is it worth the risks that you take in the ring to get to this point if, when WWE does come calling, you're going to be too beat up?
I mean, to be honest, I didn't tear my ACL doing anything too crazy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It was just normal stuff, wear and tear. You jump off something, you land on your feet, and then all of a sudden, it's out. and an ACL, so actually a torn ACL is a fairly common injury, and I could, if I wanted to, I'd keep working on it. Like, I have a brace for it and everything. You know, mm-hmm. Steve Austin worked for years with, you know, no ACL in either leg, so, you know, once I get the surgery and do the rehab and everything, it'll be back to 100% and it'll be normal, and it's not like something that's going to be like a reoccurring, hopefully not, a reoccurring thing that's going to, you know, put like permanent damage on my body, so.
Definitely, hopefully not.
Well, just go on that, Doc. I mean, one of the things nowadays in this business is, you know, the young guys are in a horrible predicament because the WWEs are looking for young talent now. It's no longer what it used to be, where, you know, the older experienced guys were pushed to the forefront because they worked the territories. Now it's all about getting the young talent, but unfortunately, you know, people like Jimmy here, you know, sometimes might have to work through injuries just to get noticed by WWE while they're this young, if they want that contract, because that's the way this business is now.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure. Yep.
It's sort of like a double-edged sword, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, let's move on to a different topic. Of course, Wrestling Society X. As far as everybody knows, the premiere is, the finale is not going to air on MTV now.
Yes. I just watched it today. Actually, the producer of the show, Big Vision Entertainment, sent me all the DVDs of all the episodes, including the unaired episode. And it's too bad it's not going to air. The exploding cage crash is actually really crazy.
I know everything was building up to this, and now they're not going to show it.
Right. I
went off on a rant last week about this because that's just rude. At least finish the, you know, there's one left. Finish it.
Yeah, MTV was so impatient with everything. You know, after, you know, the ratings started dropping after like 3 weeks, you know, they started giving us hell about everything, you know.
Right.
The standards of practices and everything. And I don't think MTV did a particularly good job promoting the show. I don't think there were any, like, we didn't have, like, any, you know, commercials just by ourselves or anything. Or,
mm-hmm.
And none of our guys went to TRL. You'd think it'd be in their best interest, you know, throw on Teddy Hart and Jack Evans on TRL and have them do backflips in New York City. I mean, how much work does that take, you know? I mean, like, you know, they put all this money into the show. You figure they'd, you know, want to see it succeed. But, you know, they just want the next big hit and they want it now. And,
right, and, which is weird, I think, for a basic cable TV station, because I mean, what else does MTV have? I'm not really an MTV kind of guy. I'm a little bit too old for that. But I mean, what do they have? Jackass, Yo Mama.
Right. Well, I mean,
I mean, they're not going to air the finale of Wrestling Society X because what? Yo Mama gets more ratings or something?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, and you know, just. MTV in general isn't doing well now. That was part of the reason things went down how they did too. Like after about like the fourth week aired or something, there's a big shakeup at MTV where, you know, like whole departments wrecked out. You know, executives were getting fired and everything. There's a whole. So we were hoping that might help us. You know, maybe some more people for our show would be in better positions. But
right.
Unfortunately, it didn't exactly work out for us the way it did.
We had Lizzie Valentine on the show. Last month, and she had said that pretty much everybody who was behind the Wrestling Society X project at MTV was fired in that management shakeup.
Well, yeah, the guy responsible for our time slot, our 10:30 Tuesday night's time slot, he was fired, I know, and he was a big supporter of the show. So I don't know exactly, you know, all the specifics, but I think it had to do with the lack of promotion of the show. I think a lot of stuff was cheesy about the show. I thought, you know, a lot of the explosions just. You know, the presentation of it was just a little too cheesy. I thought some of it was like, really good. You know, like when we were filming it, you know, a lot of good guys there. I thought we all had pretty good matches. I thought a lot of the matches were really good. And then, you know, when they edit your 5-minute match down to 3 minutes with all these, you know, glamour shots of the crowd, you know, to get the edits in, you know, it didn't quite work. I don't know.
Do you think that it might have been a mistake? I know it was done this way for production cost, but to film the whole episode in a week, or to film the whole season, excuse me, in a week, good idea?
I don't know. I don't think it was a bad idea, but then once they did the editing and the of it all, I think after it aired, I think there were definitely mistakes that they made as far as, you know, things like, you know, telling us to do 5-minute matches, and then, like I said, editing them down to 3 minutes, and because of that, they're, you know, half the match is filming the crowd just so they can get, you know, make the edits look smooth and stuff. I thought that was a mistake. I thought they should have just, you know, if they want a 3-minute match, tell us still 3 minutes and, you know, we'll do all the crazy stuff in 3 minutes. You know, same with the explosions. I thought, like, a lot of the explosions, like, it's kind of crazy because, live, you know, they had these, you know, crazy concussion bombs, which were, you know, like, live, were really dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they added in, you know, the camera, like, shaking and
right.
stuff like that, which just, I thought made it look, like, really cheesy for these stunts that, in actuality, were actually kind of crazy, you know?
Right, and it just kind of cheapened the danger, the realistic
yeah.
danger.
Yeah, even, like, I watched the, like I said, I watched the Explode Cage match today on DVD, and live, it was really a crazy match. Like, live, I thought it was just an awesome match, to be honest. And, you know, once the explosion happened, you know, on the DVD, you know, you get the camera shaking and everything, it just kind of cheapened it. Like, live, I mean, these guys hit the cage and, like, the side would explode and they'd go flying off and there'd be smoke coming, you know, from their tights and everything. And, like, it had this really, really cool visual, and I don't think they needed to add anything else to it, you know.
Right. But I don't know, like what was said before by some other Wrestling Society X guys was that people were told that it was not a show to be catered for wrestling fans. It was a show to be catered for MTV fans.
Sure, yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, that of course the thought was, you know, if you want MTV fans to keep watching it with their short attention spans, it's got to be all fireworks. Boom, boom, big move, big spot, big spot, big spot. And, you know, for the wrestling fans, they had the internet show, the WS Extra, which were the matches unedited, you know, which matches that went like, you know.
Yes, I loved those.
Yeah, you know, like, and they, you know, for wrestling fans, they were good, you know, 6-minute matches or, you know, 10-minute matches that were unedited and good wrestling and everything. But for an MTV crowd, you know, that's just, you know, it's just flipping through channels. It's like, oh, this, you know, whoa, what the hell is that? And, you know, they just keep watching, you know, like the unedited stuff when it works.
Right. Pete, are you still with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm listening.
Oh,
you know.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
I totally agree with Jimmy here, you know. The thing is, though, I mean, I think some of the stuff was probably good, but so many fans have watched WWE for so many years, and it's on such a bigger scale that anything smaller looks cheesy, but even though it's not,
yeah.
You know, it just compares, everybody compares it to WWE, because that's what's on TV 24/7 almost.
Right.
And, you know, so it's hard to go from, you know, a big cheesecake to a little cupcake, you know?
It's hard to build an alternative, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, and God bless them for trying, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people said, oh, this is stupid or that's stupid. But, I mean, these guys, they had a project, you know, they pitched NDE for, you know, years trying to get this thing off the ground, and, you know, they did it, and unfortunately didn't, you know, succeed at the level they would have liked to, but, you know, they had an idea for a different alternative, and, you know, you can't blame them for trying, I guess, you know.
Oh, definitely not, no. I mean, definitely the network. I totally blame MTV because, you know, I was with WWE when, you know, we tried to do some stuff that had heat on MTV, which, you know, was what it was. But, you know, we tried to do other things, but, you know, MTV were so bad at handling and understanding the wrestling business.
Yeah, exactly. Not to cut you off, but that was one of the other crazy things. Like, you know, Big Vision was the producers of the show. And, you know, MTV still had certain things they wanted to see in the show, you know, and the people at Big Vision had to explain to them, you know, kind of how wrestling worked. I mean, as best they could. Like, one of the things I remember one of the producers telling me was MTV wanted one of the wrestlers to get dumped in a vat of acid.
Oh, my
God. And they had to explain to them, look, if a wrestler gets dumped in a vat of acid 1 week, he really can't come back the next week, you know?
Right.
Just things like that where they're just completely oblivious.
Or he
know,
would look, if he did, he would look like Sloth from
exactly.
The Goonies.
Exactly. So, I mean,
maybe he'll come out dressed up like a mummy from WCW. That would work.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Yeah, you know, and they definitely should have, you know, before it even aired, a month ahead of time, they should have had two main eventers or, you know, the four top guys in the company on their various shows like TRL or whatever the Yomama
exactly.
is, whatever it is.
I don't think, you know, maybe I don't know the inner workings of everything, but I don't think that would have, you know, taken that much effort, right? I mean,
oh,
you know, they book the guests, you know, they talk about wrestling, do a few backflips, do a few moves, and people are like, oh, this looks interesting, you know, I don't know.
It's so frustrating that these things are there to be utilized and nobody uses them. That frustrates me
yeah,
when that happens.
I thought it was a bit peculiar. I, like I said, I don't know all the inner workings of everything, but I thought those were pretty easy things that they probably could have done and didn't. I don't know.
Now, you had you were teamed up in Wrestling Society X with Tyler Black, who's
yeah.
a friend of yours in real life, and you guys work on the Midwest Independence together. There's confusion. It was the tag team called Doing It For Her or Do It For Her?
It was Doing with no G. Doing it for her.
And
to make that official statement, because everybody thought it was Do It For Her. It was Doing It For Her.
We had Josh Abercrombie on the show, I think it was last month, and I couldn't remember what he had exactly said. So a lot of people were thinking about this, and I think even Lizzie Valentine was confused as to it. So
yeah.
So there's another thing. You know, it just sort of seemed like, you know, with a half an hour show, you didn't get a lot of time to fully develop characters. At least on a quick enough scale to get them interested right away at the beginning. And little things like that were missed.
Right. Well, and you know, they were really hoping that a lot of people would tune into the internet show. Because that's, I mean, where, you know, I was mostly on was the internet show. I had like six matches online, you know, one on TV. And, you know, but people really have to go the extra mile if they want to, you know, see the stuff on the internet. You know, have to go to the website. And the MTV website's horrible. I hate it. You know, it's hard to load and everything.
Right.
I mean, like, they were really hoping, you know, that would be more of a tool than I think it ended up being. So.
Are you still going to be teaming with Tyler and maybe continue the tag team, of course, or is this name owned by Wrestling Society X and Big Vision?
I think they wouldn't care if we kept using it or not or
right.
whatever. I mean, we went to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in L.A. right after we're done with the MTV tapings, and him and Tyler and I wrestled with Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin and had really a hell of a match. It was probably one of the best matches I've ever had, to be honest. And then, you know, we were starting a team Fight Sports Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, they put us together too, and I really did like teaming with Tyler a lot. You know, he's young kid, you know, he's only 20, and he's a hell of an athlete. You know, he's in great shape, can do a lot. You know, he's a good listener and everything. So yeah, I really like him a lot.
Yeah, I was at the Fight Sports Midwest. Our one of our Hot Topic correspondents, Brian Alvarez, he runs the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. Was having a special match on that show. And he's a little upset with you, Jimmy.
Brian, see, the thing is, I mean, if you want to go and be, like, an internet reporter, like, you know, a dirt sheet writer, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, you know, if you want to come in the locker room and, you know, expect to be buddies with the guys that, you know, surely if you crapped on their matches, I mean, like, you know, don't bother, you know? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can pick one or the other, and that's great. You know, he can go and he can write whatever he wants. And that's fine, but, you know, don't come in the locker room and act like you're one of the boys. You're not.
For the guys that don't know this, Brian had said that he was doing this match, and Jimmy was in this monkey suit. He was, you know, it was sort of a surprise that Jimmy was there. I didn't even know it was him until he unmasked. But Jimmy was running around the stands in this monkey suit, and Brian's finished with his match, and he comes up to the aisle. And goes to hug the monkey. He didn't know it was Jimmy either. Jimmy gets right up to him where he's about to hug him, then turns around and dances away. Brian was upset about that. He goes backstage. He left his shirt out there. So he asked the ring announcer to come get his shirt. When the ring announcer brought back his shirt a couple matches later, there was banana smeared all over it.
And see, that would, faking him out of the hug, that was intentional. But the shirt thing, I thought that those were like Tyler. That was like Tyler's jacket corner.
Oh.
I have these big monkey hands on,
mm.
And I was trying to unpeel my banana and just doing an awful job of it. And I accidentally smeared it all over his stuff. But when I heard about it, I laughed.
Yeah, if somebody gets upset with that, they're complete idiots.
Yeah, it was funny, Delirious. I think he reads the Figure Four Weekly, and he sent me something that Brian wrote after that. Like, it was ridiculous. You know, he's talking about, you know, this early morning flight and this and that, and you know how it was cold because he didn't have a jacket.
Right.
And you know what? This. And he's like, you know, like almost like bitching about stuff that like to guys like me and guys like Delirious and guys who do this. This is our lives. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Early morning flights and late night drives and all that stuff. That's what we do. And, you know, he's talking about it like, oh, look at this hardship that I endured for one weekend. Like, you know, like, whatever, bro, you know. And then he goes on and, you know, he craps on. You know, like, I don't read the Figure Four Weekly. My buddy, though, he just had a copy. He's like, oh, man, look what this guy wrote about. You know, I had no idea who Brian Alvarez was at the time. I only put two and two together, like months later. That's those I was working with Eddie Guerrero on SmackDown.
Right.
Eddie gives me the brainbuster on the chair for the finish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm laying there selling, and Eddie's like, he's standing over me. He's like, show me your face. So I sort of, like, start to sit up, you know, still selling, but I sort of, you know, like, sit up a little bit and turn my face towards him. He kicks it down. He's like, now the other side. So I kind of start to go do it again, and he kicks it down again.
Right.
So Brian, in his little dirt sheet, writes something about Jimmy then starts to get up and no-sell the brainbuster. He's like, this isn't flea market wrestling, Jimmy. You know, you have to sell moves in WWE. Clearly you won't be welcome back, or something.
Wow.
Something asinine like that. And, you know, I guess. I mean, I guess if he wants to bring that up with Eddie Guerrero, I mean, whatever. I mean,
I smell a feud, Irish people.
No, I smell somebody who can keep typing on his little dirt sheet and say whatever he wants about me, and that's all well and good. But just don't come to the locker room and act like you're one of the boys. You know, you can be not.
Well, tell you what, if he's complaining about the traveling, you know, he definitely is going to get heat somewhere, because, you know, a lot of guys do a lot more traveling than he does, and it's a good job he wasn't around 20 years ago.
Yeah, right? You know?
I mean, come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to go back to, you know, playing bingo or something where, you know, he's in bed by 10 or something, you know, I don't know.
Seriously, you know?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Even nowadays, I mean, like, I know it's not like how it was back Saturday, but, you know, I put, you know, 40,000 miles on my car last year, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're up all night driving, and, you know, you're in the airport one morning, you're driving someplace, you know, until, you know, 7 a.m.
If you love this business, you deal with it, you know?
Yeah, and for do one show and then bitch about it. But then, at the end, he put it over. He's like, but as much as I had to endure, this is why I love the business. Or, you know, something real dramatic like that.
Wow. Well, what a martyr.
Exactly, you know.
I've got to ask you, Jimmy, when you like you said at the beginning of the interview, you're going to be out for 6 to 9 weeks with this ACL. Are you going to be...
6 to 9 months.
6 to 9 months, excuse me. Are you still going to be hanging around at the shows? Are you going to be helping out?
Absolutely, man. Like, it's great. Like, it was actually really surprising to me. And, you know, I was just reading Bobby Heenan's second book. And he talks about, you know, how wrestlers are whores, the promoters are pimps, and, you know, if you get hurt and you can't work the street anymore, you're out of luck. Well, you know, proving Bobby Heenan wrong, I guess, at this point, because as of right now, I have, like, almost all my weekends booked for the next couple months, you know, just, you know, doing managing, being, you know, commissioners at one place, owner another place, color commentary another place, you know, managing a couple other places. And, you know, so I'm, like, I'm filling my weekends and still going to be hanging around and everything. So, you know, I'm very fortunate and very very grateful for the promoters that are still, you know, taking care of me, despite, you know, me not being able to, you know, wrestle in the ring and everything. They, you know, I don't know.
Absolutely.
That's great, man. I hope a lot of the younger guys out there take note of that, because a lot of younger guys get hurt and either go away or they you know, look for sympathy for the 6 to 9 months, and that's exactly what you should be doing. And, you know, there's definitely, when you're injured like that, and you have that passion like you seem to have, you know, there's definitely a storyline that you can build while you're still hurt can explode when you get back, you know.
That's what I'm really hoping, you know. I hope I'm getting, you know, further the storylines I've been involved in and, you know, do some new stuff. I'm really looking forward to being a manager, to be honest, you know, save on the bumps, but, you know, still get to perform and still get to do everything I love about it, so.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. We wish you a speedy recovery, Jimmy, and we want to see you back in the ring competing as soon as possible. Jimmy Jacobs, guys, check him out at Ring of Honor, of course, on the Ring of Honor DVDs. You can get all that stuff at ROHWrestling.com and see a lot more of Jimmy. Jimmy, I want to thank you for being on the program, and hopefully we'll have you back again soon. Maybe when you get ready to come back.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Hey, it was a pleasure to talk to you, man.
Hey, thank you, man.
Jimmy Jacobs, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. It's going to wrap
things up.
What's that? You're a fan of Jimmy?
I've never watched him. I've never seen him wrestle. No offense to him or you know, promotions he wrestles for, because, you know, I just, you know, the lifestyle I have, I'm too busy. But you know, his attitude and his passion for the business, that makes me a fan right away.
Jimmy's a great guy, and I've told the story before on the show of how I met Jimmy and how I wasn't really a fan until I saw his match for the first time, until I saw him in the ring. And so now I'm a total Jimmy Jacobs mark, if you want to put it that way. So, he's a great guy, and we appreciate him coming on the show. Next week, guys, Vicious and Delicious, they are going to be here, of course, together. And Irish Pete will not be anywhere.
So from somebody who's passionate and young to some goofball who has had so many chances, he's blown them more than Anna Nicole Smith.
Excuse me, that is a family show there. Anyway.
Okay.
Thanks for being on and filling in for Les this week, Pete. We'll see you.
That's it, we're done?
Yeah, we're done. We'll see you, of course, back on Hot Topic in a couple weeks.
Okay, sounds good.
Guys, next week, Vicious and Delicious is going to be here, and Josh Abercrombie is going to be here, of course, in 2 weeks, guys, at Wrestling Weekly. Check us out at WrestlingWeekly.com. Hey, guys, I want to thank the folks at MattManiacs.com for helping us out today. Check out MattManiacs.com. Good stuff over there. We'll see you guys next week. Good night.
Good night.
Are you ready?